Hello, welcome back to Couch Surfing with Koi, the traveling podcast where the guests are whoever lets me sleep on their couch. And in today's episode, I'm in Jersey City, New Jersey, in my new apartment for a bit of a solo episode because we have a lot to catch up on. Basically, if you've been keeping up with the series, you know that I moved away from Mr. Beast out of North Carolina, and then I was in between leases, but I didn't want to live there, so then I decided to put all of my stuff into a storage locker, and then I decided to travel and sleep on people's couches while I kept all of my stuff in a suitcase, and now, finally, I have a home. And also in the somewhere along the lines there, I turned 21 and also 20 and also 19 and also 18. And apparently, here's the kicker, I'm not 15 anymore. So yeah, I figured I'd do an episode where I kind of talk about growing up and change and becoming an adult and having a quarter life crisis. Not that I'm having one, but if I said that I was having one, would you be like, he's really dramatic? Or would you be like, this is the kind of drama I'm into. Hello? Hi. Welcome to the episode. I guess I already kind of welcomed you to the episode. I already did all the intro stuff, so should I just kind of start? I should just kind of start, because honestly, I've been putting off making this episode for so long. When I knew that when I turned 21, I wanted to do an episode where I just kind of talked about growing up and my fears and my quarter-life crisis and change and moving on and getting older and adulting and stopping being a child and getting arrested. I didn't get arrested, but I thought that would be fun to throw in there. And you'd be like, what? He got arrested? Maybe I'll stick around till when he talks about that. But no, I have been putting off this episode so bad because honestly, it's a tall freaking glass of water. Or wait, no, that means, doesn't that mean like hot? You're like, oh, you're a tall glass of water. Oh, because it's like, I could drink you right up. Okay, figured it out. It's a tall order to be like, hey, let's talk about, you know, my brain developing and growing up and my future and my past and why I am the way that I am and everything that's led me up into this moment and everything that will lead me to the last moment that I'll ever spend. It's a lot to think about, and I wrote down some notes and some stuff to talk about, and I don't think I'm going to cover even the half of it because it is, like I said, a tall freaking glass of water, and I could drink it right up, except the glass of water is too big. It's a big, big gallon of water, gallons and gallons. I couldn't even drink half of it. So today I'm going to try to take some sips out of the big gallon of water that is growing up. That was good. I should write a self-help. No, stop it. So, cool. I turned 21 on April 12th. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Seriously. Still riding the high. It is May 29th. I'm still riding the high of my birthday. So I turned 21, which apparently, and this is the thing that they don't tell you when you turn 21, is that you're not 15 anymore. Random. Okay. Bummer. I turned 21 and 20 felt okay. The problem with turning 21 is you finally, for the first time in your life, are 21 years old. and being 21 is like, you're not really 20 anymore. You're not like new to being 20. You're like, all right, I should be getting the hang of this by now. But you're not, or maybe you are 21-year-old watching this video. No, if you're a 21-year-old watching some twink with a microphone trying to explain life advice on how to be a 21-year-old, you are not doing well. And maybe I'm projecting. And good for me, it made me feel better. But I do feel like 21 is like one of those numbers you hear all the time because it's like, that's how you start getting crunk. It's an adult joke. Joke for the adults. It's like, okay, now we're supposed to finally process the fact that you're in your 20s. And also you're like, you can basically do anything besides like rent a car or like run for president. And so the freedom starts to hit you and the significance of the time of your life that you're in starts to hit you. And by you, I mean me. And so I hope you understand. Oh, also, I'm joined today by my roommate's cat, Shug, who loves to try to drink out of my watering can. She loves to stick her head in there and get it stuck and then spill it all over the floor, and I have to clean up the water and then say, bad. But she's so good and so cute, and I love her. Thank you for being here. Seriously, you're making this so much better. But my 21st birthday was really fun. I've always been the type where, like, I don't like all the attention on my birthday, or I don't like it to be like a huge deal where everyone like needs to clear their calendars and everyone needs to be there and everyone needs to wear something and do this whole thing. And I plan this whole event where everyone needs to have a good time. I feel like the pressure of everyone having a good time, it being on me, is not really how I want to spend my birthday. And so luckily I was in Jersey City, which is where I'm currently living. And I'm sure that you'll get more context as to why eventually, but right now it's a mystery. On my birthday, we did, I was like, my friend Anthony, Anthpo, friend of the podcast, roommate of my house, he was like, don't worry, just clear your schedule. We'll go out together. And he got a group together. We went out. It was awesome. Had some drinks. I was in a club. It was really underwhelming. I was like, what are all of you doing here? Don't you have jobs? You're adults. You know, it didn't really feel right to see adults in kind of an unserious context. I did not like that. My 21st birthday, though, so freaking lit. It was a really good time. It was chill. It was awesome. I just enjoyed being around a bunch of people so that I didn't have to be around my thoughts that often get a little bit, like, I just get, like, sad, like, an aching, like, coming of age feeling on my birthday. You know, like the sad boy who's like blowing out candles with no one around on his birthday, and then like just like one tear falls, and then he like listens to music and goes to bed. Like that's kind of my vibe when it comes to growing up. Like, I love to romanticize my sadness. You know, it feels really good. It makes me feel important. And you know, everyone loves to wallow every once in a while. It's hard to think about how it happened. That, like, my 21st birthday has already happened. Mainly because I don't remember a single minute of it. Am I right? Because freaking we got lit. I think I feel like an adult, kind of. Like, not in a way where, like, I'm in a room full of a bunch of boomers, full of a bunch of lame freaking boomers, got them. Let's bring that back, calling people okay boomer, got them. But I don't feel like, I don't relate to, you know, sad adults, but I do feel independence. I do feel possibility. I do feel maturity. Don't look at the Perry the Platypus pillow or the Minecraft poster behind me, all right? I am an adult. And those are things that, you know, I'm like, this is Disney adult coded, isn't it? To have the Perry the Platypus. Is that Disney adult coded or is that fun? Leave a comment down below. It is a little bit weird to think, oh yeah, I'm no longer a teenager and apparently I never will be. But we don't know that. We don't know if I'll never be a teenager again. It could circle back around, you know? We don't know at any point time could start reversing. Stupid. I'm very grateful for my teenage years. I am, but also I think that I could spend the rest of my life just kind of telling every teenager to make the most of theirs, because they're gonna, like, you know when like adults are like, enjoy it, feels like a party every day. It's gonna fly by, kid. Before you know it, you're gonna hate the world around you and yourself too. I'm starting to become that person and see why they're like that a little bit, but I'm trying my best not to, and I have some strategies that I've started to employ. And you know it's real when I start using words like employ, because those words come nowhere near what I do regularly. And I have some strategies that are I think helping me grow up or have helped me over the past few years, because I, you know, I moved out of my house, or maybe you don't know, but I moved out of my parents' house when I was 18 and then started living on my own. And that was a huge shock to like process adulthood in that way, and like the reality of it, to just like be in the deep end of it. Cause you know, when you're growing up, you know that it's eventually going to come. You have no idea what it's going to look like, no idea what it's going to feel like, but you kind of have this, like, I guess when I was in high school, I had this kind of romanticized idea of like what my, like, you know, what, when I was an adult, I was finally gonna be able to make all my own decisions, and I was finally gonna be able to be in control of all my stuff. And I was finally gonna be able to hold up a big middle finger to both of my parents. I didn't mean that. I'm not going to hold up a middle finger to both my parents. And I'm sorry if they're watching this. For several reasons, I'm sorry if they're watching this. I had this idea that, like, just instantly I would become an adult and all of my problems would go away because I, like, what, wouldn't have to be asked to empty the dishwasher anymore. I started to realize the person that I'm becoming, which is, you know, someone filled with a longing for the feeling that childhood gave me, or at least the feeling that the memory of childhood currently gives me. I'm not really sure what the difference is, but I started to realize that I'm becoming that guy, you know, that like 20-something year old who's like, enjoy it. When I got a text the other day, I got a text from a random phone number. It's a link to a phone case with full camera protection and mechanical lock, if that's important to you. And they said, wrong person, my bad. And I said, that's okay. And then I realized something. I said, wait, your number is only one away from mine. And that is true. I wasn't just lying. I don't know why you thought I would be lying, but I'm sorry. Am I being weird to you? Okay. So I said, that's okay. Wait, your number is only one away from mine. I feel so close to you. Then they say, LMAO, what's your name? I say, Coy. What about you? He says, Mason. I said, well, cool phone case, Mason. He says, thanks. I'm just browsing Amazon and saw it. And then I send 8-ball. And then he says, laughing emoji, how old are you? I said, 21. What about you? He said, ooh, 15. And I was like, oh, okay. And then he, you know, corrects himself and says, oops, 14. I was like, okay, I need to send one more last text and I need to get out of here. So he sends me 8-ball back. And I, of course, respond by saying, good luck on everything in your future. Have fun being young. Enjoy school, even though it sucks. I know you hear it all the time, but you'll seriously miss it one day. Hope you get an awesome phone case, Mason. Take care. And he said, thanks, you too. And I like to imagine that one day Mason will be president and he'll ask me to be his vice president. And I'll say, whoa, Mason. Yes. But I'm definitely missing being young, which I know that, oh, you're so young. People always tell me that. Oh, you're so young. Especially because I usually introduce myself as a 9-year-old. I do hear that all the time. It's like, oh, you're so young, you're so young. It's like, okay, age is relative. Yeah, I'm the youngest I'll ever be, but I'm also the oldest I've ever been. Deal with it, boomer. Okay, boomer. By the end of this episode, that will be coming back. And that's my prediction for the 2025. Once I started living on my own, I realized that I had a lot more to learn. When I was 18, I felt like kind of a baby. Like, is that fair? It's like, I don't know. I feel like moving out of your parents' house is like coming out of the womb again, really. Cause like, yeah, it's like you have the most independence that you've ever had and you're like the oldest that you've ever been. You're now legally considered an adult, but also you have no idea how to do anything. And suddenly you're at the bottom of the pyramid again, you know, or the bottom of the, I guess, number line as far as like age goes. Like you're the youngest an adult can be and you have no idea what you're doing. And so I started to try to learn a lot. obviously teenage years are really important for like development and whatnot, but apparently your 20s are like arguably even more important. I don't know if what I've been feeling or what I've gone through over the past few years is technically considered a quarter life crisis, but I liked that title. So apparently quarter life crises are much more common than midlife crises. And I know that not everyone's quarter life crisis will look like moving to Mr. Beastland, North Carolina, and then moving out and starting a podcast where you crash on people's couches and travel the world and all that kind of stuff. But that's just kind of, but everyone's a little different. Also, I'm no expert on any of this, obviously. I feel like that goes without saying, but I have read a lot of books. And by that, I mean maybe three. And I have watched a few TED Talks, and by that I mean probably six. And I have read a lot of stuff on Reddit. So, and I found out that apparently your 20s are like super, super, super important when it comes to your development. And like, even though it feels like, I feel like when I was like 16, it felt like I was the person that I was going to be forever. And now it's 5 years later and I feel like a completely different person. And apparently in five more years, I'm going to feel like a more completely different person, because apparently 85% of your life's most defining moments and choices happen before age 35. So the stakes are high and the pressure's on for being 20. And apparently, according to science.gov, which is a website, sorry, your personality and brain changes more in your 20s than it does in any other decade of your life. That's kind of scared me a little bit. Maybe. That's a little bit of pressure. Oh, great. The choices that I make are going to lead to the person that I become forever? Okay. Sorry, did you just hear the cat hit the microphone with her tail? Funny. When I moved out, I was 18 and I moved 11 hours away from my family. 11 hours away from my small little rural hometown in the Midwest. And the first thing that I feel like I experienced was like shock. I had all these like hopes and ideas of what my life would be. And I felt very like ambitious and very hopeful. And then I realized that like, wow, I know how to do actually basically none of this. And it was like really, it was really, really humbling. And suddenly I have adult responsibilities and finances and pressures, and then I have my career to think about and love to think about, because apparently you're supposed to kiss people once you're an adult. I remember one of the times I was grocery shopping for myself, and I just realized suddenly that everything on all of the aisles was something I could buy. Like, my parents for all of my life had just been kind of like buying food for me and I was eating those things. But suddenly I had access to like every ingredient possible. Any kind of food that I wanted to make, I could. But I feel like that's how graduating high school has felt. Is I can look at every single thing that's happening in life around me and be like, oh, okay, so the only thing that's stopping me from doing that is deciding to do it. I feel like the idea of that possibility feels really fun and exciting, but then actually getting there, making a decision feels almost impossible. You know, I'm someone that, like, if I go to a restaurant and there are six things on the menu, what a relief. I don't like being overwhelmed by decision. I don't like how many possibilities there are. I don't like how I like pressure and limitation. It helps me not get so like lost or overwhelmed. And I feel like transitioning into adulthood is like the biggest overwhelm of possibility that you could ever experience at once. But luckily, now there's a way out. And I didn't know this at the time. I didn't realize that this is what I was doing, but I found a coping mechanism. I found a way to kind of put my life on pause for a little bit and get away from all the distraction and from all of like the possibility and all the pressure of like start your life now, start your life. And that is my phone. Yep. My iPhone. At any moment, there was nothing from keeping me, and there still is nothing from keeping me other than like the 6 screen time apps that I have downloaded that make it actually impossible to break into TikTok. There's nothing stopping me from just putting my life on pause. You know, I feel like there's a lot of talk about like your phone being overstimulating, and yeah, it is, but it's like overstimulating and like a bit of a soothing way where it's like everything kind of at once back to back to back where your brain can't even process it or like actually work correctly. And so it just kind of puts your life on pause and sucks you in there. But I feel like it's an escape from the overstimulation and overwhelm of having to make choices about the life around you. You know, when you get on your phone, you don't have to make a single choice. I feel like 10 years ago, maybe you'd have to be like, all right, what YouTuber am I going to watch? Or like, what show am I going to watch? Or what website am I going to go to? Or which Webkinz is going to be able to go play the games today? But now everything is just fed to you. And so having this, I know this is so trite and I hate talking about my phone and screen time because I'm so exhausted by it and I'm so over it. And I actually want to do this. I actually have a video idea where I just kind of try to decrease my screen time by shooting my phone with a gun. Where was I? I was just picturing me shooting my phone with a gun. But it is crazy that like this thing can just like pause everything. And that's okay when you're like in school and you have adults that are like making sure that you're like on the right track. You know, it can set you back in school a little bit, or it can like damage some relationships when you're a teenager. But like when you're an adult, no one is telling you what to do. No one is telling you to put the phone down and get out of bed and go do things. And I feel like I spent a lot of time when I first moved out just kind of like in a limbo state, like waiting for things to happen, waiting for someone to be like, hey, it's time to go. It's time to like do work. It's time to, but like, that's me now. What? You mean I'm supposed to teach myself how to do that by using the disciplinary tools that were taught to me by authority figures from my childhood? No, I don't like them. Kidding. It's the systems. I don't like the systems. It really is crazy because it's like you have all these responsibilities that you can just like completely ignore and shut your brain off. And you can be like, ask yourself this question of like, would you rather do the dishes and take out the trash or spend 4 hours straight in hell? Spend an entire evening in your bed watching other people do things that they're supposed to do. And it's so much easier to do the latter. That was my impression of a fireman who's trying to get a cat down from a tree, and he's talking to his colleague who's trying to climb the tree. It's so much easier to do the latter. I think I want to end this podcast. Like the whole, I think we're done. I think it's going to be over, so. Kidding. When you get on social media and you scroll, it's reinforcing what I think leads to like basically most suffering. Comparison culture. So yeah, I spent a lot of time just kind of like looking at my phone at what everyone else was doing and being like, so what are they doing? And this is like the first time where my peers, the people that are around the same age as me, the people that I grew up with, aren't on the same path as me anymore, you know? And so I used to be able to compare myself to them. And that used to be like almost helpful, you know, of being like, oh, this is how the average student is performing in this class. Like maybe I should work a little bit harder to get up there. Like, oh, this is, I'm a freshman right now. Look, that's what a sophomore looks like. That's where I'll be in a year. And so you get really used to like figuring out how your life is going to be, or figuring out how your life currently is and how successful it is by comparing it to everyone else's. And now you have this handy little tool known as Instagram, where you can just do it whenever you want, wherever you want, all the time. Hopefully you should be spending all of your time on there all the time. So I'm playing this comparison game on my phone, but I'm also playing this comparison game in real life. Suddenly the peers that are around me now are the Mr. Beast crew. And I am like wanting to be, you know, full-time YouTuber, and they are the most successful content creators in the world ever. And so like comparing myself to them would be completely ridiculous and absolutely a waste of time that I absolutely 100% did, whether I realized it or not. And like looking back at that now, it's like not fair at all to do that. You know, like there's no one at this point, even though like it's a muscle that I've reworked in my brain of like compare my life to everyone else, compare my success to everyone else to see how I'm doing. That doesn't really matter anymore. But it's hard to get that through your head. And something that helped me get that through my head is when I was comparing my life to people from my hometown, I was living my dream. All right, or at least what I thought my dream was, right? I was a content creator surrounded by the most successful people in the industry, being able to learn from them, living on my own, supporting myself financially, cultivating a great community, making content that I was happy with and proud of. And still, I'd get on Instagram and I see people from my hometown and they're getting married. And here I am pretending to like Mr. Beast. How is comparison supposed to ever be productive there? Like, it's so ridiculous and pointless. But it's still something that I struggle with. And it's, like, ingrained in my brain, I think. Like, it's just something that I have to continue to try to pick apart and unlearn. And it's exhausting, but it's not as exhausting as, like, seeing that, you know, Brianna Lee got married to freaking James the Third. I'm really happy for them, by the way. But like, that's crazy that we can do that, right? Like that we're like raised that way to be competing against our peers in a place where we have to constantly be around them and constantly be put up against them. And like, they're ranking us by our GPAs, and people are fighting for scholarships and spots and everything, and test grades and curves and whatever else other people are doing. And to have the ability to carry that as frequent as you so choose, as frequent as you just open your phone and open Instagram, is crazy. I feel like it kept me like held back for so long. And it's not just that I'm like watching everyone else's life, it's that like they're watching mine now too. And yeah, I love like what social media has done for like connecting us all together, but also some of you I do not want to be connected to. You know, or you to have the choice to be connected to me. Like, becoming someone with followers, I think really, like, shocked me and scared me and made me feel like I'm up on this stage where, like, anyone from my life can see it. You know, it's not just fans of me. It's my family. It's my friends. It's my, you know, people from my hometown. It's exes. It's potential love interests. It's people that hate me. It's people that love me. It's people that want to kill me and are planning it as we speak. Probably don't say stuff like that, Koi. Oh my gosh. That's not okay. When I'm posting something as simple as an Instagram story, I'm constantly thinking about, like, you know, the people that I look up to are going to see this, or the people that hate me are going to see this, or the people that I'm going to have to see at my sister's wedding are going to see this. Like, every single person's voice is in my head commenting on my life while I'm trying to even figure out what it is and haven't done so yet. That's not good. Can I just quite frankly say that that's not something that should be happening? It's not just a thing for content creators either. Like, we are all on our own stage. I still have a personal Instagram where I follow people from my hometown, and I see how they post on Instagram. I see how we're all curating our lives for each other. And like, I feel like it really can like stunt you from growing into your own person. But yeah, like everyone has access to the world stage, you know, like everyone has an audience, whether it's like Addison Rae or like my mom on Facebook, they have people to post to that they're looking for reactions from. And I feel like that's caused me so much setback and confusion in learning how to become myself over the past few years. And it's not easy to get past either. I think I just feel like a bit like angry and upset that like it's something that I have to like work so hard to not fall into, to not think about or to not like live my life around, you know? And I know like, oh, you could just delete Instagram and delete social media and what, like stop being freaking cool. Yeah, right. But I feel like when everyone's on the stage of theirs, that your brain kind of automatically organizes people as above you or beneath you. And maybe you're listening to this like, absolutely not. What do you mean everyone's equal? And yeah, everyone's equal, but like there are people you look up to, right? Or there are people that you don't really like, or that you like want to not really like, or want to be less lower, like feel lower than you, because it's that comparison thing that's like ingrained in our brains. That's like, you're only as good as how much better you're doing than someone that's worse than you. And so it's really easy to put people on these pedestals, either above or beneath you. And that's obviously really bad, because then you're living your life to try to fall somewhere on this scale that's like measured by other people, which is just like not what self-discovery is about. That, because self-discovery is, I think, correct me if I'm wrong on this, about discovering yourself and not discovering how good yourself is compared to everyone else. I feel like I got a very important lesson on this, that like everyone is just someone and that we're all equal, when I got the opportunity to live next to Mr. Beast for 2 years and be on sets and meet all of these people and meet content creators that I'd seen and that I had put on pedestals above me. Not necessarily that I look up to all of these people, but as far as social standings go, you know, these people are in Shopify ads. These people are on tiers way above me. And then I meet them, you know, I hang out with Mr. Beast, Jimmy, if you will, and I will, because we're kind of on that basis. but like when I hung out with him, he's like scrolling through Reddit, looking at negative comments that people said about him. And I'm like, you are the most wealthy, viewed, subscribed to, successful, ambitious creator that's ever been, and you're still hung up on this? You're still reading everything that people are saying about you? You're still just some guy? And I'm not here to try to humanize Mr. Beast. I don't have all day. Sorry. I'm just here to say that, like, I feel like getting that perspective of, like, everyone is just equal is a really, like, duh, of course, but once you start to like experience it and start to apply it, I feel like a lot of the like anxiety and like feelings of not being good enough just kind of go away. Say you were born on an island with no one ever around you. You never met another human, didn't even know that they existed. If you looked in a mirror, would you be like, wow, my nose is that shape? Like, no, because you don't have anything to compare it to. You would just like accept yourself. Anyway, when I was 19, I think like 7-8 months after me moving out, I posted a YouTube video and it got 5 million views. And I suddenly had like 350,000 subscribers. And that's really when the wheels started to spin, and not in the way that where you move, in the way where they're spinning in the mud and you're stuck and you're, yeah, you got it. And I remember this happening and being so blown away that, like, I was getting all the support and that, like, my life was completely changing and my childhood dream was coming true. And I felt the same, if not worse. Dang it, dude. I mean, like, why? Like, I finally get what I've always wanted in my life, and now I feel worse about myself? Like, is this a self-worth issue? Or I guess, like, I don't know, and I don't care, and actually, yes, it probably is a self-worth issue, because every single issue is basically a self-worth issue, but I don't want to talk about that, because I'm tired of talking about my self-worth. I'm so over it. But I started to analyze things to try to get to the root of the problem, to try to figure out why I didn't feel good about the massive accomplishment that I just had. You know, like, I was like, this is what you're supposed to be doing as an adult, right? This is what's supposed to be making you feel really good, is, like, big career moves and success and, like, life-changing things that are pushing you in the direction that you want to go. So, okay. So why does nothing feel better? And I started asking stupid questions like, what was my motivation? What was my perspective? What's my definition of success? Where do I find meaning? In fact, why do I believe anything that I believe? Why do I do anything that I do? A question that I had not asked myself at any other point in my life, basically. A question that I think, combined with the pressure of success in love and career, I think that this question is kind of the root of a quarter life crisis for me. Yeah. Cool. So we're done with this episode now. You know, I realized that even if I got the thing that I wanted, that if my motivation for getting there was wrong, or if my definition from success was different than what it should be, or if my goals or my perspective or my morals or beliefs or any of those self-care buzzwords, if any of those things were off, like, that could be causing this feeling that I'm having. And so I started to just reflect. I think that a lot of the answers to those questions that I had are formed in your, like, childhood and teenage years. Can we get psychologists? Can we get a check on that? I actually have one in the room. Yeah? Okay. Why are you naked? Sorry. My psychologist on set is naked, so. Hi. Okay. So sorry to interrupt whatever that guy was going on about, but I just needed to quickly say, I just posted a new vlog of me decorating my room and getting settled into my new place over on my Patreon. What else is on my Patreon? Oh my gosh, thank you so much for asking. You're honestly making this whole promo thing a whole lot easier. I mean, since you're dying to know, there are solo episodes of this podcast every other week. There's a bunch of vlogs and exclusive live streams and a bunch of other stuff that you'll just have to see for yourself. You know, since you're so eager about it and all. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's $5 a month and it's a great way to support this show and my content. Yeah, thank you so much. Patreon.com/KoiPiso. And now back to the show. That felt cool to say. Can I say it again? Now back to the show. All right, I gotta lean back for this one. This is getting intense. Please don't diagnose me from this video. I'm gonna be so mad if people have diagnoses, by the way. I'm gonna be mad, and okay? That's all I need to say. So when you're a child and a teenager, I think that a lot of the skills that you learn, and a lot of the ways that you learn how to deal with things and move through life are caused because of the specific circumstances of school. When you're in school, you have grades. You have a number to your name. You have a GPA. You have a reminder of how successful you are among your peers. It's competitive. You have authority figures that are in charge of your fate and the success of your future and are constantly putting pressure onto you. You have a bunch of classmates that you might not like, but you still have to see every day. And if you express your dislike for them, it could ruin your chances at, you know, your name being included on a group project or some stupid example like that. You know, people are like, in school, you have to, in a way, fit in or like find a way to for school to work for you, because it's not built for everyone. I actually don't know who it's built for. Maybe the principal? Wow, that felt deep. But now as an adult, although it may seem obvious, until I actually like reflect on how I've grown up and how I viewed the world around me, I didn't realize how much this freedom changes everything and how much my like thought patterns can change and how much I can unlearn. You know, like now that I'm an adult, if I don't like someone, I can just not talk to them. I don't have to see them. I don't have to talk to them. I don't have to pretend to like them because we have to sit next to each other and they might distract from my learning and therefore the success of my future if I don't. I don't have to do things that I don't want to do anymore. I mean, there are, okay, taxes and dishes and laundry and buying groceries and paying my bills and working. But like other than like I don't have to do every single little thing. Like there's a lot more like possibility and freedom that like really scares me and overwhelms me. But like also a lot of this is like really freeing. And when I got to the root of why I was viewing the world around me like I was, why I was comparing myself to everyone, why I felt so much guilt and pressure from the people that like I looked up to, I realized that it all kind of traced back to like how I was taught to view the things around me in school. You know, like I don't have to view my peers as competition anymore because they're not. You know, in school, they were. That like that's, or at least they were like made to be to kind of like motivate us. And like, is that what our motivation should be in life? No. Sorry, spoiler. But I was gonna let you answer and then I forgot. And so sorry. But I don't have to view the people around me as competition or authority anymore. And that, I guess, gives me a lot more permission and takes away a lot of the pressure to just do things and try things. Because I guess that's what being 20 is all about. And also getting freaking drunk with your friends. Hey, yo, party people at my house tonight. Let's take a few shots. Sorry. But when I grew up in a rural town in the Midwest, it was not the easiest place for a gay guy to grow up, you know, especially I was going to church every single week in a very like homophobic environment, a place where I didn't feel like I could be myself. And I had to form these skills to survive, you know, and these skills in order to like keep myself safe in these places that might not have felt the safest for me. When I look back, I see that I was like motivated by this feeling of not being good enough, you know, like that my motivation, the reason why I did the things that I did were from a place of I need to be better because what I currently am isn't okay. And that's not fun or sustainable. Like I said, I kind of like had this, oh, woe is me, romanticizing my suffering kind of coming of age mindset that helped me through high school for sure, where I was like, oh, I'm this gay kid that no one understands, and I'm in a family that I'm like the black sheep of, and like no one's even gonna freaking come to my wedding when I get older, and no, and I'm so effing clean, and I'm so messy. What's that song go? How's that? Okay. And so I really identified with like coming of age stories. I was motivated by the promise of like making it through to the other side. You know, I was just thinking about do this thing, work hard. You're in a montage in a coming of age movie and it will end happy and awesome. And so this is the mindset that I developed in order to keep moving forward. And I don't know if you resonate with that at all. And quite frankly, I don't care. And I was kidding when I said I don't care. I think it's great if you are here. But as I've gotten older, I've realized that that viewing my life this way is actually a little bit dangerous. That, like, viewing my life as a story is, yeah, it's great. It's what I had to do. It's what I had to do to get through what I got to get through. And I had great character development and great times and great coming of age moments that I loved. But viewing my life as a story, constantly motivating myself by, oh, I just got to get through this, and then so that I can get to the good part of my life, or I just got to get through this because I'm not good enough right now. Then when I finally get through it, then when I finally have a YouTube video get 5 million views and my childhood dream has come true, I'm so controlled and directed by this feeling of not being good enough that it stays. You know, I'm like, all right, where do I go now? And I'm like, oh, shoot, like, I've never given myself permission to feel good about myself ever. I've never used a good feeling as a motivator ever. Uh-oh. Uh-oh, I've never felt genuinely proud of myself and used that to keep me going. Yikes. Who did that? Was that my fault or who? If you couldn't tell by the way that I'm talking, I read a book recently where it put the past, present, and future into this really awesome metaphor that I really like. And maybe this is just me being a theater kid, but it talked about, like, being on a stage, not in the stage metaphor I was using earlier, just a stage that's not your social media account, a stage that's not your Instagram. Being on a stage and you have a spotlight on you, the spotlight is the present. If the spotlight is dim, you can see the back of the house. You can see all of the chairs in the audience. You can see some of the backstage behind you. And you want that spotlight to be as bright as possible. You want to just be getting things from the current moment. And for that to be how you move in your life and how you dance through your life, if you will. And if you won't, that's okay too. But I think you should open your mind and maybe even open a book. Guy who's read 2 books. That's me. But I guess the point I'm making is that if I'm constantly having this dim light on the present moment, I'm not going to feel anything good from the present moment because that's not where my mind is. And my motivation is going to be found from me reaching to the future, reaching for something outside of myself. And then when you get some kind of accomplishment, when you get what you've always wanted, it doesn't even feel like you did it, you know, because I keep saying you, I mean me, okay, it's me, it's always been me. This comparison culture has gone so far that I'm comparing myself to a future version of myself that doesn't exist, like a future version of myself that I'm inventing just to make the current version of myself feel worse about himself so that he can move forward. That's how I'm gonna live my entire life? No! No! What I'm actually gonna do is take a bunch of shots and shoot my phone with a gun. Who's with me? But anyway, all that to say that there's a lot of unlearning to do at this stage of your life, and I'm not even through the half of it. I mean, I just turned 21, you know? I'm talking a lot of big game for someone who knows nothing about what he's doing, but I think that's okay. I think that, like, vulnerability is what leads to self-discovery and understanding of yourself, and that's what unlearning takes, is vulnerability. That's what connection with other people takes. That's what feeling like an actual human takes. And so, yeah, I think I'm ready to be vulnerable. That's just one of my vulnerabilities. I'm just trying to, like, be more vulnerable about, you know, my strengths and my weaknesses, and just accept them and realize that, like, it really doesn't matter. Like, what am I going to do? Get in trouble? Get my phone taken away? Get grounded? Like, get a bad grade? There's nothing left to prove to anyone except for myself. Also, I just want to say, like, I know you're like listening to like a podcaster with a microphone talk about all of this stuff. And like, this is like the easiest position for me to be talking about all this stuff and like deal with all of this stuff from, through, with. I don't know which preposition goes there, but one of those. And I recognize that like, I don't have the challenge of like having a boss or a job or like, I have a lot of freedom and a lot of privilege that a lot of people don't have. And I've been able to use a lot of that to take some time to just figure out what's going on up here. Forgot to point to my brain, but up here. Figure out what's going on and discover things about myself and learn about how to move on past my childhood. I'm really, 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 really forever grateful for that time because it is going to change the rest of my life. And I'm so thankful for that privilege and so thankful for you being here. And I hope that this doesn't come off as like, this whole thing doesn't come off as like me trying to like complain about my life or my circumstances, because it is literally the best and awesome and I'm loving it. I just wanted to be vulnerable about some of the things that I've learned, because you know, if they can help you even just a little bit, I'm learning how hard this period of life is. And I've been able to give a lot more attention to that struggle and how to overcome it than a lot of other people are given at this age. And I just wanted to share that with you. So, okay, this has been going on for so long and I don't know if I've made a single point, but I just want to rush through like my last few things that I want to talk about. Basically, I know that there's so much chaos. Everything's moving all the time. And it's like so hard for to like even have time to think about yourself or to like create a routine or stability and comfort when there's so much chaos and so much unpredictability in the world. And also my cat is meowing. It's technically my roommate's cat, but she doesn't know that. She's meowing at the door, so hold on. Yeah, I don't know. I know that there's a lot of unpredictability and uncertainty and changing stuff out there, but like at a certain point, you just gotta embrace the chaos. I think that discomfort and uncertainty is where we discover the most about ourselves. I think that that's when you become vulnerable. It's when you're in a moment that you're not comfortable with. And expanding your comfort zone is what makes you question why you act the way you do and why you do what you do and why you believe what you believe. So as much as you can, embrace the discomfort and embrace the chaos. And something that really helps me when I get really overwhelmed by the possibility of everything and the lack of control that I can struggle with in my own life is the Roman Stoics dog on a leash metaphor. If you want to Google that and read into that, I think that's really interesting. I don't have time to explain it right now, but I don't know. I know it's really hard right now to just like get paralyzed by fear and to just get stuck. And there's an easy, easy, easy way to just, you know, give all of your attention to something that completely puts your life on pause. And every single company is trying to get every single person our age to do that. Try to rebel against that and try to embrace what's uncomfortable, because, you know, you'll learn something about yourself and you'll make some progress. And I always feel weird talking about this stuff and like feeling like a little bit preachy and saying things like you, and I guess just you. I don't like being like, you should put yourself out, or you should do this, or this is why you should think that way, as if like I'm any kind of like expert. A lot of this is just projection. A lot of this is, I'm quite literally talking to myself right now. Like I'm trying so hard not to process the fact that like thousands of people are going to watch this. So just take everything that I say with a grain of salt, because this is the advice I've come up with for myself, you know, kind of thing. Anyway, just remember that like everyone's equal. No one's better than you. No one's worse than you. There actually, I can think of several people worse than you, but at a starting base level, don't compare yourself to people and don't use that for motivation. And try to find ways to live in the moment. Both of those feel like such cliche pieces of advice, but like those are actually the takeaways for this episode. And I hate that cliche advice works sometimes. It's like when you start like reducing your screen time and journaling and working out, and suddenly like you start feeling happier. Like, that's so annoying. Don't compare yourself to anyone unless it's to me, because that'd be really cool if a bunch of people felt bad about themselves because of how cool I was. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this as well, on growing up. I know that I still have so much to learn. I still have so much progress to make. A lot of these things are things that I'm just now able to put into words and just now learning how to apply. And so if you have any kind of experience that you want to share, I don't know, just like leave a comment, find community, feel free to be, I guess, vulnerable and connect with each other, because that's what life is about. And that's how we grow as people. And that's what growing up is all about. I'm over it. I'm going to go back to school. Kidding. Oh, I guess that's kind of like why I'm doing what I'm doing right now. Couch surfing is like, I'm putting myself out in uncomfortable situations where I'm learning about myself and like trying to really challenge my own friendship with myself and meeting other people and finding community in them and connecting to them without comparing myself to them and learning about things around me in the world and traveling and all of that kind of stuff and trying to grow and change as a person. And so that's what this whole journey and the thesis of this podcast is. Okay? Full circle. He did it. I'm tired from talking about my feelings and reflecting on all of this. And we didn't even get into the existentialism of it all. We didn't even get into the why am I here and what are we doing of it. But there's just no time. Goals for this year: have fun, take risks, be vulnerable. Don't care what anyone thinks except for Santa, because Christmas is is still important to me. And love and be loved and shoot my phone with a gun. I'm going to give you a song recommendation, because I add a song to the playlist, the couch surfing playlist, every single episode. Song recommendation for this week is Telescope by Cage the Elephant, because it's a song I really liked when I was a teenager and I've been coming back to it a lot recently. And it just makes me feel like I'm getting old in a bittersweet way. Take care of yourself. Treat yourself with love, respect, compassion. This has been real. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being here on the podcast, actually. It's such a fun journey, and I'm happy to have you along. Jordan, if your name is Jordan, hope I just scared you. And, I will see you next week on a different couch. Bye-bye.